Well, when you think of the word Christmas, what do you normally think about?
Presents.
Presents? That's right. Let's be honest, that's exactly what we do. We think about gifts, either gifts that we may receive or gifts that we're going to purchase for someone else, right? We're thinking about gifts. Gift giving is a very important time of, or part of this time of year, right? As a matter of fact, people almost ran over themselves this past Friday, didn't they? Trying to buy gifts. And you know, I got to thinking about this. Really, when you look at the Bible, what we call Christmas isn't really part of the Bible. We get the idea of giving, certainly, from God, right? But what we see today is not the same. Let's be honest. It's not the same. But I'd like for you to think for a moment about a gift or gifts that you have received that you didn't earn, you didn't pay for, and you really had nothing to do with except receiving them, receiving them. And if it were not, if they were not given to you, you wouldn't have. What might that be? Salvation for sure. But you had to, I'm going to mention something about that in a moment. Has anybody thought about sight? How about hearing? Does anybody like the taste of pecan pie? How much do we have? How about the air we breathe? The ability to eat what's set before us. All of these are gifts, are they not? Gifts. And, you know, when you stop to think about it, they're gifts that you didn't really have anything to do with, did you? They were received at birth. And you just think about this matter of those gifts that I've just mentioned. How many of you would be willing to exchange that gift for, say, say $100,000. Huh, even $1 million maybe, if you had it. But you realize that not everybody has it, and there are people out there who would literally give $1 million to be able to see. To be able to hear clearly. Oh yes, there's modern techniques that have helped us. And yes, we know about transplants and implants, where there may be a restored part of the vision, or maybe even a heart implant, kidneys. But the truth is that not everybody is going to receive one of them, are they? Not everybody is going to receive these gifts. And even if they do receive them, somebody else, what? Provided it, right? They provided. You take even, you know, they ask for skin when a person died. They ask for all kinds of parts of the body. But somebody has to give it. Somebody other than the person receiving it. But the interesting thing about all of these, either are given at birth, or they're given through life by somebody else who's making it possible, and we don't really work for them. We just receive them. But you see, the gift of Christmas, or the gift from God, literally is something that is not like that given at birth. Now, it's a gift, but it's unlike that given sight or the hearing. Rather, it is something that we must receive. We must receive. As a matter of fact, the Bible talks about this as Jesus mentions it to Nicodemus. You remember what he said? He said that if you would like the gift from God, it begins by you being, well, what's the term that in the Bible it uses? Jesus talking, he says you must be What did he say? Born again. In other words, you must receive this new experience personally. See, it's unlike just receiving our eyesight when we're born. But we must make a personal choice. Now, the big question for all of us here this morning is, have you made that choice? Have you made a choice to personally receive the gift of salvation that God gives? And then when he gives that gift, you inherit more gifts. And I want to talk about those for just a moment this morning. Some precious gifts that we inherit. Because you remember, the Bible says that as many as receive him, that is Christ, then become the children of God. And then as a result of being children of God, we are now joint heirs with Christ. That means we're the beneficiaries of the gifts of God. Camille just read that passage from Isaiah. Familiar passage. And especially at this time of year, it's read over and over again. But listen again to this phrase. He said, a child will be born and a son will be given to us. Given to us. What does this mean? What does it mean when it says a child will be given to us? Now remember, this is written 800 years prior to the birth of Christ. And yet also in the 7th chapter of Isaiah, he speaks of one who's going to be born. And Camille also read that passage found in Matthew, the 1st chapter, which says and specifies that this child that is going to be given is going to be who? What does it say? He says, for unto us a child is born. And he says, it is a fulfillment of the prophecy. For he says, behold, the virgin shall be with child and shall bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which means God with us. Do you know what that means, folks? God with us. He who is the creator of everything, the stars, the heavens, the earth, he's with us. He stepped down from glory to be with us. That's what he said. And this means, in practical everyday terms, what does it mean to you? To know that God of heaven is now the God among men, living in us. And you remember when Jesus was getting ready to leave, he told his disciples, don't worry, I'm not going to leave you comfortless, but rather I will send one who will be with you. And the way he described it, he said, I will be in you as well as with you. Constantly, both with and within. That's what he says. Now, you just think about this. What he's saying is that this child who is to be given is the wonderful counselor to guide us in living. Amen. He is the Almighty God to give us strength for every day. He is the everlasting Father to bring comfort to our weary hearts. And he is the peace that takes away all anxiety. That's the child. That's the child that he talks about, the wonderful counselor, the mighty God, the everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. The Prince of Peace. You know what it means? It means literally, you never have to face another situation that you're dreading alone. Never. You will not have to face that situation alone. You'll have to face the announcement that you got cancer alone. You don't have to stand beside the bedside of a loved one who just died alone. No, you don't. Remember what the psalmist said? Though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will, what? Can you say the rest of it? Fear no evil. Fear no evil. For you see, He's with us. See, this is the mighty, powerful truth of the Bible, is that God is with us. Not that we're delivered from all our issues, but that He's with us in all of our circumstances. Regardless of what may be transpiring in your life, the promise is He is with you and always will be you. You see, always He's right there beside you to lead and guide into all the circumstances of life. That's His promise. You've probably heard me tell this story before, but it's written about a lady who lived alone, and a fellow came by one day to visit her and to kind of check on her. And while there, he asked her the question because he was kind of concerned about how she passed her days. So he just asked her. He said, "How do you spend your day?" And she said, "Well, I read my Bible, and then I sing some of the old hymns, and then I just sit back in my chair and let God love me." You know what she was doing? She was just trusting the Lord. Trusting the Lord. Because He promised that He would be with her, even though she was now no longer able to be out among the crowd. Many Christians go through life lonely, frustrated, fearful, because they feel they are alone and nobody really cares. But that's not true. You may be one of those who feel that way this morning, that hey, life just seems directionless, without hope, and I'm all alone. But listen, Jesus is here, and He's with us, and He promises. He promises, just like, you remember Joshua of old? He was getting ready to take the command from Moses and to lead the children of Israel, and what did God say to him? He said, "Hey, listen, I'm going to be with you. I'm going to be with you. Therefore, take courage. Do not be dismayed. For the Lord thy God is with thee wherever thou go. I will never leave you nor forsake you." Do you know He's saying that to you this morning? He's saying that to you this morning. I'll never leave you. I'll never forsake you. I'll walk right with you all the way. Jesus said to His disciples, He said, "If you love me, you will keep my commandment. You'll keep my commandments." And He said, "And I will ask the Father, and He will give you another comforter, that He may be with you forever." Amen. With you forever. Not temporary, not just, you see, one of the problems we have is when we get into trouble or we're sick or something, we may run and grab the book, right? "Lord, get me out of this mess right now," right? But what does He say? He said, "If you love me, you will keep my commandments." In other words, there's a consistency. And because of that consistency, we begin to understand a little bit better about the consistency of God's presence with us. Never to leave us, nor forsake us. And see, His presence means He brings His peace. Remember, He's the wonderful Counselor, but He's also the Prince of Peace. The Prince of Peace. Peace I leave with you, Jesus said. Not as the world leaves, not as the world gives, give I unto you. In other words, He knew, because it was true in His time and it's true in our time, there is no such thing as what we'd call peace, Something's going on all the time, right? That can upset us, cause us anxiety. That kind of peace is not the kind we want. We need something that when turmoil is happening, whether it's in our home, on our job, or whether it is in the church, we can have the absolute peace that only Christ can give. Peace of mind. You know, in Psalm chapter 8, chapter 4, verse 8 says, in peace. Now, I want you to listen to this. In peace, I will both lie down and sleep. For thou, O Lord, alone will make me to dwell in safety. Now, did you hear the words I began with? He said, in peace, I will both lie down and sleep. Now, how many of you, go ahead and hold up your hand if you want to, have laid down but not went to sleep? Why? Because you're trying to solve tomorrow's problems, right? Worried about things that you can't do a thing about. You know, it's amazing what we do. We go to bed, worry about things we can't do a thing about. He said, I will both lie down in peace and I will sleep in peace. That's what we need. We need the peace that only He can give. Peace that only He can give. That's why Jesus says, if you're weary, He says, come unto me. Listen to what He says. He says, come unto me, all that labor, heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. See, the good thing about the presence of the Lord is that you never, ever have to face any issues in life alone. Amen. Nor without His help and His peace. And you see, we know that it's a gift from Him to us, which we must receive. We must receive it. We read the Old Testament and see how that God's people continually turned away from the peace and security that God wanted. But you know, if we kept a log of our lives, what would we find of us? Just like Israel, right? Turning our back on the offered help from the Lord Himself. We just need to understand that by faith, we can receive the gift of His presence and His peace. His peace. 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 In Psalm 119, verse 168, we read these words. He said that those who love my law have great peace and nothing causes them to stumble. Now hear that again. Those that love my word. Remember the psalmist said, thy word I have hid in my heart that I might not sin against thee. Well, listen, we hide His word in our heart that we might sense His peace. His peace, His presence. As Jesus said, take my yoke upon you and learn of me. For I am meek and lowly of heart. He said, and you will find rest, that is peace, for your soul. Do you ever think about daily needing God's help? Well, listen, He promises, because He's right here with us, to daily bear our burdens. Daily bear our burdens. That's what we need. We don't need help for yesterday, do we? It's already past. We don't need help for tomorrow yet. How about today? Do you know what's going to happen today before you put your head on the pillow? I don't. And you don't either, folks. That's the thing that is real. Life is real. Sometimes we want to live in a fantasy world that says it won't happen to me. Right? But it does happen. But here's the good news. You're not alone. You're not alone. And you can have His presence and His peace always with you. Now see, one of the problems is that we want it. But you say, well, Pastor, how do we get it? Well, Paul, the apostle, helps us understand that. Now, if there's anybody that had any struggles, I'd have to say that the apostle Paul had a few, wouldn't you? He was arrested, he was beaten, shipwrecked, stoned, left for dead. He had a few problems. And yet, this is what he said. He said, I have learned how to be content, whatever my circumstance. You know what the key word there is? What do you think it is? What is the key word in that phrase? Learn. Sometimes I think we're kind of want everything to drop in on us, right? And we don't want to go to school to learn. But he says, I've learned. And folks, that's what we all need to do, is to learn to lean upon the Lord. You know, when Joni died, and just a short time thereafter, I was asked to share at a conference for folks. And the reason they asked me was because of her recent death. And this is what I said. I said, I've learned how to cook, how to wash clothes, how to buy clothes. And I'm learning to lean more on Jesus. And folks, that's what we need to do. Just learning to lean more on Jesus. Gracious and loving Father, forgive us when we act like we know what we're doing. Forgive us, Lord, when we make foolish mistakes by trusting our own wisdom and not yours. Grant, O God, today that we might better listen to your voice so that we can indeed live relishing life in your presence and with your peace. Heads still bowed and eyes closed. Maybe you're here this morning and you sense that you would like a closer walk with the Lord. You'd like to have that experience of knowing that truly the Lord is with you and will never leave you nor forsake you. You can have it because you see, when we trust Christ as Lord and Savior, He comes to stay. Never to leave. He's always. He is the eternal Heavenly Father. That means forever. Never departing. So He says, I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish. For my Father who gave them me is greater than all, and no one is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. Are you secure tonight? Are you absolutely positive that you're secure in His hand? If not, today's the day. Now's the time. And here maybe today, you're a Christian. You understand that I need more confidence in my Savior. We'll be praying for you. And you may want to come, and we'll pray specifically for you. If you'd like to trust Christ as Savior, come. You need prayer, come.